Let's pray together, church. I need it. Lord, I ask you, God, just as we prayed a blessing over our children's rooms, Lord, I pray a blessing over this room right here. Lord, would you be with each and every one of us? Would you speak to us, God? Lord, I believe you already have spoken. I believe you've spoken through the songs we sang. I think you've spoken through communion, God, that you've spoken through the word that was given by John, Lord. And God, I believe you're getting ready to speak through your written word, through your Bible. Lord, I pray that as you speak, God, you would open our ears to hear you. You would open our eyes to see you, O God. You would open our hearts to feel you. Would you bless us now, Lord? Amen. Amen. You know, it's interesting, church, that we have, if you stop and think about it for just a moment, there are so many voices around you in your life that are speaking into your life, that are trying to help guide you, that are trying to show you the right way to live. And some of these voices, as we'll see, are really, really good. And some of them, not so much. Some of them are to be avoided. But I stumbled across this article this week that I thought was fascinating. See, they had done a nationwide survey of teenagers, and they were asking the teenagers who influences you and your choice of, and there's a bunch of different things, music and dress and movies, everything up to big life decisions about money and job and school and whatever else could be. By far, the greatest influencing factor was their friends and peers. You see, for the most part, they were wanting to be accepted. They're wanting to be a part of a group. And so they seek out and do what the group does. What's also fascinating about this same survey was that the overwhelming majority, something like 80 or 90% of the respondents say that they are fierce, independent thinkers as they're doing what everyone else is doing. Anybody see an interesting irony there? And I'm not picking on teenagers. That was just what the survey targeted. The same is true for adults. The same is true for people of all ages. You see, we have so many different voices that speak into our lives. And oftentimes, we go with them. Whatever the voice is, we go with it. Because you see, whatever voice we listen to, that is the one that leads us. If we listen to what someone has to say, we are letting them lead your life. And so the message for today, the question for today is this: which voice will lead you? And only you get to decide that. And there's so many chances and opportunities to make that decision. You see, when your friend comes to you telling you that her husband has decided to leave, that he's better off elsewhere, and after many tears, after many sobs, she asks you, "What should I do?" She's asking for your voice. Or at work, where you feel your boss is overwhelming, your boss is harsh, your boss can be downright mean, and everything inside of you wants to just shut the door and be done. But you know you need that job to provide for your family. What are you going to do? Or maybe you've been given a scary cancer diagnosis, like my friend John Drager, whom we continue to pray for, and whom I think today is running a half triathlon. Wow. Yeah, figure that out. Just saying it makes me tired. But he's running that today, so Lord be with him. But when you're given that diagnosis, and then you wonder, well, if I tell my family, all they're going to do is worry about me. It'll be a burden to them. Perhaps I should keep that to myself. And so you ask your friend, what should I do? You're asking for their voice to speak into your life. And so often, you have people coming to you asking to hear your voice while you are seeking the voice of others. And so our question, which voice will lead you? How do we know which voices lead to wisdom and which voices lead to foolishness? That's what we're going to see today. And in the midst of all of these voices that surround us, another question I'd like to ask is this. What about God's voice? Should we listen to what God is saying? Perhaps a more basic question is this. Is God speaking? Is God speaking into your life? If he's not even speaking, then we can't listen to him, can we? But is God speaking? And if he is, can we trust what he has to say? You see, we can only answer these questions about God. We can only answer these questions about Jesus if we know who he is. A few weeks ago, we began a teaching series asking a very simple yet a very profound question. It's just three simple words. Who is Jesus? This is the most important question you'll ever have to answer in your life because it defines everything else that you do. How you answer, who is Jesus? You see, a few weeks ago, we saw that he is Christ, our Redeemer. That means that he is working to buy back the world. He's working to buy back this kingdom of darkness that we see around us, the pain and the suffering that we see around us. Christ is working to bring that under his kingdom of light. That God has been working throughout all of human history, through nations, through cultures, throughout the centuries, throughout the millennium, to bring back his ideal creation. Because when God created the world, there was no brokenness in it whatsoever. Everything was perfect. And then one day, sin entered this world. Brokenness came in. Corruption came in. One day, the very people whom God created told him that they did not want to follow him anymore, and they were going to follow themselves. And so God would have been just. He would have been perfectly right to sit back and have done nothing. But that's not what God did. He came into this world in the person of his son, Jesus. He came into this world to conquer the brokenness, to conquer the corruption, the sin, everything that gets in our way of being with God. We celebrated that through communion just a few minutes ago. But God's not done yet. See, not only does God want to take away all of those things that keep us from him, he wants to bring us into perfect relationship. This is the world that we had to look forward to, the world that the Bible talks about when it says, behold, God's dwelling is now with man, and he will live with men and women forever. That's the ideal world that the Bible tells us to look forward to. The only way to get there was for Christ to be our Redeemer. And we say Christ is our Redeemer, and that's true. However, that doesn't capture the whole picture of who Jesus is. Because you see, the next week we saw that he is Christ, our Transformer. We saw that Jesus is working in big ways throughout all of human history to bring a kingdom under himself. But then we ask, well, what about my little ordinary life? What about the things that are important to me? Does God care about those as well? We looked and we saw that Jesus cares so much, he even cares if there's wine at a wedding. That he wanted to perform a great miracle to forever change the life of just one person. Last week, we saw that he is Christ, our forgiver. Yes, Jesus wants to buy us back. Yes, he wants to transform us to look more like him. But what about all that stuff that I know I've done in the past? That stuff that I can't forget, though I try. Does Jesus have anything to do with that? We saw where Jesus says, I do not condemn you. Jesus is able to forgive us completely. I wonder if we can add to that today. How else can we describe Jesus today? Specifically, how can we describe Jesus as we think of all the voices around us that try to lead us? That's what we'll see in just a moment. Before we open our Bibles, let me set the stage for you. So here, we're going to hear Jesus speaking. Jesus is speaking to a group of Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees, they were the religious leaders of the day, and they had great, great power. You see, if you got on the Pharisees' bad side, they could effectively cut you off from community. People wouldn't talk with you. People wouldn't visit you. No one would sell to you. No one would buy from you. If you were cast out by the Pharisees, you had a hard, hard life ahead of you. And not only that, not only did the Pharisees claim power to cut you off from joy in this life, they claimed the power to cut you off from the temple, from the very place where the people could meet with God. The Pharisees claimed the power to separate you from God Himself. And so they held great authority, and they ruled through great fear. And oftentimes, they were less concerned with the people that they led than they were with their own status and their own standing. You see, right before this episode that we're going to see, Jesus healed a man born blind. And that blind man went in front of the Pharisees. And you think they'd be excited. You think they'd be jumping up and down. You think they'd be praising God over this wonderful miracle that a blind man can see. But no, they weren't interested in that. All they were interested in was how to trap Jesus, because Jesus had become a rival to their power. And so they wanted to get rid of him. In fact, they keep asking this man question after question after question. And then finally he says, remember what he says there towards the end of chapter 9? One thing I know, once I was blind, but now I see. That'd be a beautiful song, wouldn't it? Maybe somebody should put that to a tune. It'd be wonderful. And how did the Pharisees respond after the man said that? They kicked him right out of the temple. They cut him off from everything around his community. And this man, his response, he went to Jesus and he worshiped. Because in the presence of God, you are forever, forever changed, just as we sang about. Now, where we pick up today, it shows right after Jesus' encounter with this man, what he says, and he is speaking to the Pharisees. If you have your Bibles, open them up. We're in John chapter 10. John is the fourth gospel. It's the fourth book of the New Testament. It goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, then John. And we're going to start at the beginning of chapter 10. This is Jesus speaking. Some of your Bibles might have it in red letters. All that means is that this is Jesus speaking. He says this, starting in verse 1. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. You see, right off the bat, Jesus is contrasting the true shepherd with the thief, with the robber, the true leader from the false. And you can see that he is showing the Pharisees that their lack of care about the sheep is what makes them a thief and a robber, not a true shepherd. Because as we have already said, people follow the voices that they listen to. Look at the sheep. The sheep heard the voice of their shepherd, and they follow him. They follow their leader. Excuse me. You know, I saw this story a little bit ago, but detailing one of the Israeli-Palestinian conflicts. You know, they've been going on since that was written a couple thousand years ago. And this was talking about back in the 80s, the Israeli army was coming in, and they were around the area of Bethlehem. And there was a little town outside of Bethlehem that decided not to pay taxes to the Israelis any longer. And they viewed paying taxes as paying for their own occupation, so they said, well, we're not doing that anymore. And so this commander of this local Israeli army, he decided, well, we can't just let that go. We got to go deal with it. So he goes to this town, and he punishes them by rounding up all their livestock and putting it in one big enclosure to keep the livestock from the people. Now, you have to remember, livestock in Jesus' day and today, for many people throughout the Middle East, that's their livelihood. That's how they make their living. That's how they provide for their families. Well, a few days later, this Palestinian woman comes up to the commander and begs for mercy, asking him to give her her sheep. She explains to him that her husband had died and that she had no form of livelihood outside of those animals. And so the commander, he chuckles, and he gestures to the big open field where the animals are, and he says, if you can find yours, you can take them home. She says, okay. Her son comes up, and he pulls out just a little flute, and he starts playing the same simple tune over and over and over again. And one by one, the heads of those sheep just start popping up as they hear this tune, and they start to move towards this boy. After about 20 or 30 minutes of the boy playing this tune, he turns and starts walking back to his home, followed by about 25 sheep. You see, the sheep knew the voice of their shepherd. They knew the tune of that flute that he played over and over and over again. It wasn't the first time that they had heard it. They knew the calling of their leader. And so they followed him. And what's interesting as well is that only his sheep followed him. Out of the hundreds and hundreds that were gathered, 25 came to follow this boy. Because the others knew he was not their leader. They knew different tunes. They knew a different voice because they had a different shepherd. And so they were not going to follow a stranger. In the same way, church, whatever voice we listen to is the one that leads us. And when we hear that voice, we want to follow it. And by the same token, when you hear the voice of a stranger, when you hear the voice of one who does not speak into your life well, flee from that. Get away from that stuff. You know, there's going to be times when people are going to want to give you advice from life that is so bad, you can't even entertain it. If I'm getting a few amens, y'all know what I'm saying here. You know, there's going to be times when you're going to have a struggle within your marriage. You're going to tell your friend about it. And they're going to say, you know, you wouldn't have those problems if you just got out of your family. That's garbage, church. Don't listen to that. There's going to be times when maybe you're recovering and trying to get over alcoholism, and a friend is going to offer to buy you a drink, and they're going to say, oh, it's just one. It's not going to hurt you. Stay away from that. That's garbage. Flee from that. Because the voice of a stranger is not the voice that we want to follow. And so given that we have all of these competing voices around us, given that if you're trying to make a decision on a major life event and you ask five different people for help, and they're going to give you five different answers, how do we know which to follow? How do we know which voice will lead us to good pasture and which voice will lead to heartache? How do we know which leader is good? Remember this, a good leader will sacrifice themselves for their people. A good leader will serve their people before they serve themselves. A good leader will genuinely care for those that follow. Look at verse 11 with me. We're going to be skipping around some in this passage. Let's go down a few verses and look at verse 11. Jesus says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Here Jesus is really showing the Pharisees that they are not true shepherds of their people. The way you can tell a good voice that speaks into your life is when adversity comes, when life gets tough, when the struggles come. Are they there or have they moved on to something else? Because if they're willing to stick with you through heartache, through struggle after struggle, maybe they genuinely care for you and for your well-being. You know, if we say that the great leader is one who cares for his people, the greatest leader of all, church, has to be Jesus. Jesus is the one that is willing to lay down his life for his sheep, to sacrifice everything for his sheep. And Jesus, he's not willing to lay down his life and then to stay dead. You know, a shepherd doesn't go out of his way to be killed. Who's going to protect the flock then? Who's going to care for the sheep if the shepherd is gone? No, Jesus was willing to lay down his life and take it up again. You see, right here in this passage, Jesus is foreshadowing not only the crucifixion, not only the cross, but he is foreshadowing the resurrection when he will come back from the dead and conquer death itself forever. Look at verse 17 with me. Move on down a few more verses. Jesus is speaking. He says, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." You know, we often get this idea that the Romans killed Jesus. And if you look in the history books, that's true. If you look in the Bible, that's true. The Romans are the ones that put Jesus on that cross. But they could only do that because Christ allowed it. He could have instantly summoned armies of angels to defend him. He could have simply snapped his fingers and those Roman soldiers would have been gone. But Jesus didn't do any of that. You see, he went to the cross willingly for you. He took up his life again willingly for you, that we might be able to be in his presence, not only here, not only on a Sunday morning, not only throughout our lives, but for all eternity. God invites us to be in his presence. In fact, that's the very reason Jesus came to this earth. Rewind a little bit. Go back to verse 10. It says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full and have it abundantly." You see, the thief, that's the devil himself. He is the one that is moving in this world to kill, steal, and destroy. You see, when he works within your life, when he brings corruption and brokenness to you, you feel as if something's been stolen from you. When Satan works in your relationships, you feel as if something has been killed. And when Satan works continually over and over again, you can feel as if your whole life has been destroyed. And when you feel that way, church, remember, that's not God. That's not from above. That's the works of the evil one, the thief, the robber. That's the works of the one who led and guided the Pharisees that we're reading about in this story. But Jesus, when he comes, he came that we might have life and have it abundantly, overflowing, can't contain how much life Jesus wants to give us. And that life from Jesus, that's life in the eternal sense, that's life forever, but not only is that life forever in heaven, that is life for right now. We can experience that life today, church. Amen. The life that Jesus brings, it's a life of wholeness, a life of completeness. It's a life of joy, a life of peace, a life of strength. It's a life of being able to stand in the midst of a storm of life, not because we're so strong and mighty, but because we know one who is. And he has promised to stand right next to us. And he has promised to give you his Holy Spirit to stand within you. If you want life, church, you want to experience life every moment, turn to Jesus. And if there's an area of your life where you feel like I'm not experiencing joy, I'm not experiencing peace or strength, I'm not experiencing the abundant life whatsoever, all I'm experiencing is death and destruction, I want to encourage you, turn that over to Jesus. Because only in him can we have life. Now, that doesn't mean the trials won't come. That doesn't mean we won't suffer. That doesn't mean that we won't have heartache. That means in the midst of all of those, we will have Jesus. Amen. Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. He wants to take away that despair that you're feeling and give you joy.
Yes.
And that's only in the presence of God. Those songs we sang this morning were absolutely beautiful and wonderful. And so if Jesus wants to lead us to life, if Jesus is calling us to life, Jesus invites us to go with him. You see, Jesus, he is so gentle. He does not force anyone to be with him. Jesus doesn't drag people kicking and screaming into heaven. That picture doesn't even make sense. Jesus calls and he invites and he says, come. And then he lets us decide, what are we going to do? If you hear nothing else from this message, church, let it be this. Follow the voice of Christ. Let the voice of Christ lead you in everything that you do. How do you know when Jesus is speaking? You know, if I say follow Christ's voice, maybe you might be wondering, well, how do I know his voice? What does it sound like? Well, I can tell you my experience. My experience is that Jesus rarely speaks audibly. Meaning, I personally, I have not experienced a literal clouds parting and angels descending. I have not experienced someone coming up to me with wings and everything to tell me the voice of God. I think that happens. I save room for that. But I just haven't experienced that personally. The way I hear God's voice? I hear it in three ways. See, I hear it first in prayer. When we pray, when we listen for God, then we're going to hear Him. And it's usually a sense that consumes everything within you, and one that you can't get rid of even if you try. And when we pray, I read this the other day. This guy had said that when we pray, coincidences just seem to happen. Anybody ever notice that in your life? That's Christ speaking really through you into a situation. Pray is one way how I hear the voice of God, how you can hear Christ speak. Another way is to read God's written word right here. If you don't know what to pray, open up. Pray what you read. This is God's written word, God's revelation that He has given to all of humanity. In fact, when you do pray and when you feel like you're hearing God's voice, but you're not sure if it's God's voice or not, look in the Word. See what's written there. Confirm your prayers through God's Word. Because sometimes when we pray, we feel like, oh, I'm hearing Christ's voice. But really, it might just be last night's pizza. You know what I'm saying? It could be something else speaking going on there. If you want to know if you're hearing Christ's voice, look in the Word. Another way to hear Jesus speak is through godly, Spirit-filled people. It's through people that have a vibrant life of prayer. It's people who are regularly in God's Word, and they speak into your life. Oftentimes, they're speaking into a situation that they know nothing about. That could be, I'm not saying it always is, that could be Christ speaking to you through them. And maybe, just maybe, as you grow in prayer, as you grow in hearing God's voice, as you grow in reading the Scriptures, maybe God will speak to others through you. Because Jesus, He's always speaking. We just need to hear His voice. And so if you're here and if you're having marriage problems, any of those that I've referenced earlier, listen for Christ's voice. That's the only one that'll give you peace, that'll give you strength. If you're here and you're having problems at your work, you're having problems with your boss or a coworker, whatever that situation may be, listen for the voice of Christ. He alone can give you the wisdom to walk through that situation. Maybe you are here and you have just been given a scary diagnosis that you haven't shared with those who love you. Listen to Christ's voice. He will give you not only the strength to speak, but He will give them the strength to hear. And He will be with you in the midst of that suffering. I want to share with you one more verse out of here. Look at verse 16. If Christ is leading us, if we listen to the voice of Christ and so we're following Him, we need to know, well, where is He going? Actually, I'm going to back up to verse 14. Jesus says this, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. We've already seen that. Jesus says it again because it's so important. Verse 15, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Once again, Jesus shares that He is the greatest leader we could ever follow. Verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. You see, when Jesus spoke this, the other sheep were those outside of Judaism. They were those outside the temple. They were those that who either the Pharisees had cast out or the ones that the Pharisees would never welcome in the first place. You see, Jesus is not interested in an us versus them mindset. How often do we see that around us? Turn on the news for 5 minutes. It seems as if everything in life is supposed to be us versus somebody else. And Jesus is not interested in that. You see, he genuinely cares for all people, especially those on the outskirts of society. And so when Jesus spoke that, the other sheep were the ones outside the temple. Who are the other sheep in your life today? Who are those that are on the outskirts of your society? Who are those that you know that you'd really just rather not be around? Could be anyone. Could be the rich, could be the poor. Could be white-collar workers, blue-collar workers, conservatives, liberals, Republican, Democrat. Could be other believers, could be non-believers. Could be that rowdy child that you see running around. Could be the parent that you see at the mall struggling to get her kids to do anything. Could be that neighbor that always walks their dog in your yard. And if you've ever experienced that, you know what I'm talking about. When they leave their bikes out, they always somehow end up in your driveway as you're trying to just get into the house. Who are the other sheep in your life? See, it's important for us to know because those are the ones Jesus is after. Those are the ones that maybe, just maybe, Jesus wants to speak to through you. One thing I love about this verse, if you notice that Jesus says, I have other sheep. He doesn't say, I wish I had more sheep. He says, I have them. They're mine. They just don't know it yet. And then he says, I must bring them also. He doesn't say, maybe I'll bring them. No, Jesus is after those sheep. He says, they will listen. Not hopefully they'll listen. Not one day they might listen. He says they will listen. And there shall be one flock, one shepherd, Jesus himself. Jesus is speaking to this world, oh church. And one way he's doing it is through you. And as we draw people to Jesus, as we ourselves are drawn to Jesus through many of our struggles in life, through many of our decisions that we need to make every day, we're going to learn more and more about who Jesus is. So who is Jesus? He's Christ our Redeemer. He's Christ our Transformer. He's Christ our Forgiver. How can we add to that today? Well, that's a good one. Another way to say that is that Jesus is Christ, our leader. Which voice will you let lead you? Let it be the voice of Christ. You know, all through these past few weeks, I've been encouraging everyone to receive Jesus as their forgiver and their leader. They have to go together. Jesus wants to forgive you of all your sin, and he doesn't want to leave you there. He wants to lead you to true joy and peace, which can only come through him. Let the voice of Christ lead you, church. Listen for his voice. Listen for it through prayer. Listen for it through the Bible. Listen for it through other godly, spirit-filled people. And when you hear Christ's voice, follow him. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for your desire to lead your people, God. Lord, I thank you that you love your people so much that you're not going to abandon us or leave us to our own devices, Lord. No. You continue to call your people. You continue to invite us to follow you. And when we say, Lord, when we say, Jesus, that you are Christ, our leader, you are not some overbearing leader. You're not some tyrant. You're not some leader who only thinks of himself. No. You are a gentle leader. You are the good shepherd. You are the one that cares the most for your people, God. When I'm reminded elsewhere in the Bible, where it says, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not put out. Church, if you're here today, you feel like you've been beaten up by the world. You've been beaten up maybe by your job, maybe by your family. You've just been beaten up today, maybe even by yourself. Come to Jesus. He will receive you. He will lead you to the greener pastures. He will lead you to life. Not just a little bit of life, not just life in one area of your mind or your heart, not just life for a few minutes or for a few days, but life forever. In your presence, oh God, we were forever changed. And God, I pray that you would change each one of us, Lord, to look more like you, to follow Jesus more today than we did yesterday, to show people Christ more today than we did yesterday, to hear more of the voice of Christ today than we did yesterday, to be able to speak more of the voice of Christ today for other people than we did yesterday. Help us, Lord, to go after the other sheep, the sheep that you are going after, the sheep that you are willing to leave the 99 in the care of an under shepherd, Lord. You are willing to leave them and to pursue night and day that one lost sheep. Lord, help us to join you in that search. God, I thank you that you are speaking today, that you're speaking right now. God, I believe in my own personal life over the past week or two, you've been speaking very loudly to me. And we'll share that with the church here in the coming weeks. God, I thank you that you are working in your world today. Now, Lord, as we go forth, Lord, I pray that you would continue to speak to each and every person in here for the rest of this day today, Lord, that we would hear your voice. When we go back to work tomorrow, Lord, we would hear your voice. All throughout this week, God, that we would hear your voice. And I'll close with the words of the prophet Samuel when he was but a child. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, church, it is time to go and get your kids. If you have children back here, please, please, please go and get them. God bless you. We'll see you next time.